Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch all the way over there. Before we get started, our usual disclaimer, neither Anthony nor I nor our guest today are licensed medical professionals, psychologists or psychiatrists, so please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest, and while you're leaving stuff, you can leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, whatever you like. Share us around, drop us a message, get in touch, and over to you, Anthony. Hello.
And hello to you too, Nicole. It's always so wonderful to see you as usual. And today we're going to hop right in, and we're going to talk about something interesting today. And that is the idea of never and always, or as you mentioned, absolutes. As I call it, and my dear friend Karen, who's been on the show, reminded me of years and years ago that always, always land is the same illusion as never, never land. Mm-hmm. And we have clients that live in these absolutes, in this black and white kind of world. And we don't live in a black and white kind of world. We live in an area, we live in these shades of gray. When it comes to 98% of the things that go on in our life, I don't think that there's an absolute. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's so ingrained in our language and our way of speaking, and we so often, and I think most people, speak very unconsciously aware of the language that they're using and how they're using words and the connotation that the words carry, and we just speak, don't we?
Yes, I'm guilty of that.
yeah, we just speak, and we don't filter, and we don't think, and we don't take a breath. And words are just kind of coming out. And I think it's until you start to kind of pay a lot of attention to what words mean and the impact that they have. And not everybody has the, you know, can be asked to do that, which is fair enough. Right, yeah. But we often talk about, you know, this always happens, or that always happens, or it's all, you know, oh, it's always me.
Yes.
And
never me. That's the better one. It's never me.
yeah. It's always me. It's never me, whatever. And they are absolutes, right? It's I've always been like this. Well, no, you haven't.
Right.
You may have been like this for a few years, to the point that maybe you don't remember, or it's not, you know, you've kind of blocked out another way of being, but you certainly weren't born like that. You know, you weren't born feeling anxious. You weren't born with low self-esteem. You weren't born not believing in yourself. So you haven't always been like this. It's just that for the where you're at the moment, you're not consciously remembering a different way.
Right, because you've become enmeshed with the issue, whatever it may be. Mm. And like I said, you know, I think that we're all guilty of that sometimes when we start to fall into a funk, and things around us aren't going as we think and believe that they need to be going. It's like, why does this always happen to me? Well, it doesn't always happen to you. Feels like it, though, when you're in the moment, and it can become overwhelming. And the challenge with it becomes, and this is something I'm currently working on even with myself, is being able to remind myself that it's not always like that, that there is the light at the end of the tunnel, that there is new beginnings, new days, and new ways to work.
Mm. Interesting that you mentioned that, because as you know, I've recently started a master's in applied positive psychology and coaching psychology. And one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is optimism and hope. I giggle because we've been doing a lot of these kind of self-assessment questionnaires that give you kind of like your strengths and your values and things like that. And I did quite a few of them over the weekend, and consistently optimism and hope just kept coming out on the bottom. And I was really surprised, because I don't consider myself a pessimistic person. And I'm often, you know, the one looking on the bright side and looking for the positive in things and looking for the positive spin. And I challenged the lecturer on it this weekend. And kudos to her. She's very much, you know, you think about these things, question them, challenge them, you know, what's coming up for you when you're doing them, reflect. And she was very welcoming of challenges and I suppose constructive criticisms, if you like, critical criticisms in that sense. And I said to her, I was very aware as I was going through these questionnaires that have, you know, come out with optimism and hope right on the bottom of the list. I was very aware that my current state of mind is quite different to what I would consider my usual state of mind for a number of reasons. And I was very aware that as I was answering the questions, if it was a slightly different moment in time, potentially I'd be answering them in a very different way.
Right.
So how reliable really are these questionnaires, these self-evaluation questionnaires, because they're so subjective and human emotion, human mentality is so variable at any given state, at any given moment. You know, you'd have to get a realistic reading on something like this, you'd have to get somebody to answer the same questionnaire like 20 times a day, once an hour, you know, over a prolonged period to get any kind of realistic understanding of what their actual strengths and values are.
I absolutely agree. Like a 30-day thing, like do it this time every day, even for an example, just to give you a spectrum of what's happening. And it's interesting. I just did a questionnaire for someone, and it had all of these options, you know, you would do this or you would do this. There was two, you know, in this situation, what is the best thing that you would do? And both of them, neither of them would be anything that I would do, but you had to choose one. Mm. And they asked me, what did you think about this assessment when it was done? And I said, I think it was shit. I said, it doesn't demonstrate anything about who I am because it never gave me the opportunity to give an answer about how I would do it. You gave me two options. Neither of them was appropriate in my opinion, but I had to choose one, right? And so do you, And they almost set it up to make you look as if an honest person is dishonest, because if you answer it honestly, well, no one's ever that honest, right? And there's that never thing. And so I don't like those sorts of assessments. I don't think that they tell the whole picture. I don't think that... You know, it's, I explained to the woman when she asked me about it, I said, if you take a man who has a family and everything is going okay in their life, they're going to answer it one way. He's a completely honest man, for example, has never taken anything in his life, but put him in a situation where he's having to struggle to take care of his family. And you know, it's either steal a loaf of bread or go hungry. He wouldn't steal a loaf of bread if things were okay in his life, but because he needs to feed his family and they haven't had anything, he's going to steal a loaf of bread, right? And does that make him a bad person? No, it makes him a survivor, right? In my opinion. And so I said, that's not appropriate. I don't think that they're appropriate assessments to really tell a story about an individual.
Right. And that's been very much my take on these things. And I think the whole thing about personality tests, strengths tests, what's not, there's, you know, the narrative really is that your strengths are traits and they're stable and, you know, kind of not very variable. So your strengths are your strengths and you build on your strengths rather than kind of try and strengthen your weaknesses in that sense. Yeah, I think with all of these kind of assessments, if you like, because they are all self-assessments at the end of the day, they're all based on you answering a series of questions based on how you think and how you feel in the moment. Some of them will ask you to reflect over the past few days, the past week, right now. And like I say, it's right now in this very moment, I might be answering them very differently to a few weeks or a few months ago. And so I think the thing around these assessments, and they can be helpful, they can really be helpful with clients. And I think it's a similar reason why we tend to, you know, people tend to be drawn towards horoscopes and things like that, because it helps to give you a sense of something about yourself. It helps, you know, you can identify with certain traits, and I think it helps you feel more comfortable and confident in those traits and more accepting maybe of the, I don't know, lesser, I'm saying that in inverted comma, lesser traits or weaknesses, if you like. And I think that's why a lot of people are drawn towards things like horoscopes and personality and strengths tests as well. I see the value in them. You know, you build on your strengths, absolutely, and you can be more aware of weaknesses. Again, I'm saying that in inverted commas. But I think we need to be very cautious about taking them with a pinch of salt, and rather than using them as a diagnostic tool, we use them for what they are. They're a reflective tool and a tool that can support you in growth. But it's not, you know, oh God, this is who I am. I'm a pessimist and I'm a hopeless pessimist.
Right. You know,
I could have taken that away this weekend and that could have been really damaging. But I was like, no, that's not who I am. I just recognize that given the current situation and where I'm at right now, maybe that, you know, that's more of a reflection of that rather than my entire being.
Because I would never, ever, ever look at you and consider you to be hopeless or pessimistic. So that is very interesting. God, I can't imagine what those tests would say about me right now. Put this guy in a paddy wagon.
Yeah. But that's why they can be really useful for clients. So one of the ones that I used to use a lot with clients, which I really liked, is called 16 Personalities, and it's free. You can do it online. I think it's called 16personalities.com. I really liked it. And again, I've done it a couple of times, and while the results have been similar a few years apart, they have been different. So they've given me a slightly different personality type, but within the same group, let's say. So there have been variables there. So again, it's not a diagnostic, right? And while I might identify with a number of characteristics that it comes up with, it's not, we can't take these things set in stone.
Right.
We're humans, we are variable, we are unstable in a sense that we, you know, things fluctuate and we do change, we can change, we're constantly changing. This idea that, you know, your personality is your personality, your characteristics are your characteristics. I've changed multiple times throughout my life. Although, you know, essentially I think my core values are less variable and more stable. I think characteristics absolutely can and do change as we build on ourselves and work towards being. I'm starting to get a bit bored with the idea of being the best version of yourself, but.
Well, yeah, because what is the best version of yourself? That changes on a daily basis, like you're
right.
Saying. I mean,
yeah,
you know, how I'm feeling today may not be how I'm feeling tomorrow. And so my best self today, you know, for some people, when they're in the thick of something, their best self is being able to just get out of bed, take a shower, and make it through the day. And then a week from now, their best selves may be able to go out there and motivate hundreds of people in a way to help change their lives, right? And so every day there's going to be a different best self. And you know, when you talk about the 16 personality types, is I remember when I first took the ENFP and ENFJ thing, I forget what it's called.
Myers-Briggs.
Yes. When I was in my 20s, I was always an E, you know, the extroverted. As I moved into my 30s, it changed to an I. Because of the way that I was answering the same questions pretty much, but the way I answered them and the way that I was feeling there pushes me more towards an introvert, because I have become more introverted as I have gotten older. I have become less of the dynamic diva that I was when I was in my 20s. You know what I mean? And now I'm a little bit more subdued, believe it or not. And so I think that stuff is interesting, because we do. We change as we grow, as we learn, as we experience things. Those things affect how we relate with the outside world and how we relate with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's another interesting point, you know, the introvert, extrovert, characteristic, is that what we're calling it, trait? I'm not really sure. There's another conversation that was coming up with some of my colleagues over the weekend in terms of, you know, what do you class yourself as? Well, at different times, I think different things. I might be an introvert in some situations, and I might be more extroverted in other situations. I think there's a misunderstanding around, a general misunderstanding around what introversion and extroversion means. I think most people, and forgive me if I'm generalizing here, I think most people associate introversion with shyness and extroversion with somebody that's kind of outgoing. But actually it's more to do with where you get your energy from. So, you know, extroverts tend to get, you know, they get energized from being around people, from being in, you know, they feed off of other people, from being in groups and things like that. Whereas extroverts get energized from more intimate settings or from their own space and their own company.
Right. Introverts, so you mean. Yeah. Because you said extrovert. So, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, go on.
No, I misunderstood what you had said. I thought you said extrovert both times.
Oh, no, sorry. So I think most of us are probably introverts and extroverts at any given time, where you may have a tendency more towards one than the other. So I do like being around people and going to conferences and meeting people. But there comes a point where I'm like, I just need to be on my own. And I love being on my own, and I love spending time with myself, and I can do that for a long time as well, and not be around people for a long time. Whereas I know my husband is the complete opposite in that sense. You know, he needs to be around people, and he feeds off of that. And it really gives him strength and vitality and vibrance, and he loves bouncing off of people. So we're very different in that sense. And actually, when we went and lived in the middle of nowhere in the south of France, I loved it. I mean, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And he struggled with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's the same idea. Like when people see me presenting at HypnoThoughts and I'm sitting at my vendor table at HypnoThoughts, they all think I'm a big time extrovert. Right? Mm. Because I'm on, and I am feeding off of the energy in the room around me and the people around me. Right? And it's what keeps me going. But I'll tell you what, the moment that time ends, I'm in my room and I'm shut down and I'm blocked. I'm like, I need to be by myself so I can recharge without having to depend upon the energies of others to carry me. Right. Mm-hmm. When I'm up there presenting, I'm very, you know, I'm out there, I'm, you know, having a lot of fun, but then take me into a private situation and it's a completely different, it's not a different me, but it's a different energy set, right? It's a different flow of energy. And I think you're right that people kind of forget that, you know, again, it doesn't have to be, you're always like this or never like that. Because there's an ebb and flow to everything in life.
Yeah, yeah. I remember telling off one of my closest friends because she always used to say, oh, I'm such a disaster. And I was like, you know, stop saying it. I mean, it was, and there I was.
I heard that.
With the always. But it just felt like she said it so often. You know, it just felt like every time we spoke, oh, I'm such a disaster. And I was like, you've got to stop saying that. You know, because you're just convincing yourself that you and your life are a complete disaster, and it's really unhelpful. So try changing the narrative. And actually, she did stop saying it around me, and then we had a little giggle because I said, "Oh, you've stopped saying it." She said, "No, I've only stopped saying it around you."
Well, and you know, isn't that interesting? Because like I said, again, you know, there are times in my life, as long as you, since our friendship, even, there have been times when I'm on the top of the world. And then there's times when it's just like, oh my God, everything is just, ugh. And it can become, because of the background I have with, you know, Codependence Anonymous and all the training I've done, it's like, I recognize when I'm sharing the mess instead of the message. And it's sometimes I've got to remind myself, pull your ass out of that, because it doesn't, what you're focusing on is where you're putting your attention. And that attention is going to create more of what it is that you're not looking for if it's pointed in the wrong direction. And it does become a struggle sometimes to remain in that optimistic, hopeful, positive thing. However, if you're living a mindful sort of life, I recognize when I've got to sit down and I've got to go inside and do that reflective work and say, okay, why am I feeling like this right now? And what do I need to do in order to change that for me? Because it's no one from the outside that will be able to change those feelings, right? I need to be responsible for going, we need to change this a bit because this isn't helpful, right?
Yeah.
But again, we're human beings. And we do fall into the always never thing sometimes. Because I would say, no, I would never steal money from somebody. I haven't. I wouldn't do that. But if I was put into a situation where I was in a third world country, locked and trapped for some reason, because, you know, for whatever kind of extreme, who knows what I might do?
Well, and that's an important point, isn't it? It's easy to say never from a privileged position.
Yeah.
And it's true. Given an extreme situation, I don't think anybody really knows what their reactions would be unless they've been there before.
Right. I would never hurt another dog intentionally. But I'll tell you what, if another dog went after my little Fergus, I'd fucking go berserk on it. I would hurt it because that's my little Fergus you're going after. That's my family, right? I don't become aggressive with people usually, but if somebody went after a close friend of mine or I saw someone being abused, that would put me in a different mindset into that protection mode of I can't allow this to happen. And it's happened to me before. You know, I was sitting on a train one time and I'm not aggressive, but I saw a young gay guy being surrounded by a group of high schoolers. And of course, that triggered me from when I was younger. And I got up and I got as big as I could and I went right for those guys. I would never have done that. But I wasn't going to let that poor kid be victimized. Right. And I think that that's a lot of, you know, that's the moment, right? That's the moment when we discover, boy, I am capable of possibly doing something like this.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. And I think look, this conversation in terms of value for our listeners, you know, this idea of you're either one way or another, or you've always been one way, or you'll never be able to do anything. While we have those words integrated into our language, is it really true?
I love that question. Is it true?
Can you prove?
Yeah. And can you, because a lot of people say, yeah, it's true because it's what I'm experiencing. And when I hear that, I'm like, I want three absolute proofs that what you're saying is true.
But there's a clue there in what you've just said. It's what I'm experiencing. And the very nature of what I am experiencing is transitory.
Yes. Everything is transitory. Right. Yeah. I mean, we are transitory. We are not here, but for a speck of time in the big picture. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that I have not been in a situation where things aren't constantly changing to where I have to adapt what I'm doing in order to be that best version of myself. Right. And it is. It's about adaptation.
Yeah. So there you go, people. I recommend you go out and do, you know, why not? If you have an interest in doing some of these personalities tests, strengths tests, values tests, whatever, they're fun, you know, and they can give you a bit of insight. They can give you something to kind of look into of yourself and see what you resonate with. But my advice is do not take them as a diagnostic, but rather a tool that you can bounce off of.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And you know, you had mentioned horoscopes a little while ago. And I think the reason that people like the horoscopes is because it can validate how they're currently feeling. And you know, whether it's true, whether it's not true, who am I to say? But I know that there have been times when I'm like, I want to see what's going on with my horoscope. Is Mercury retrograde right now? What's going on in my life? Why are these things happening? And so we go out and we look for reasons to validate how we're currently experiencing life.
Mm.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I think it's been an awesome conversation today with you, Nicole. Thank you.
It has. It's been fun. It has indeed. Thanks for jumping on at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, thank you for jumping on it. Yeah. All right, sweetheart. We'll talk to you again next week. And thank you to all of our listeners. Please share us, like us, love us, and give us some feedback. What are your opinions about Never Never Land and Always Always Land?
Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing from you. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.